Please stand clear of the doors. Por favor, manténganse alejado de las puertas. To those guests who've just joined us, welcome. Our next stop is the Magic Kingdom. Ladies and gentlemen, we are approaching our station at the entrance to Main Street USA, gateway to the seven theme lands of the Magic Kingdom.
Welcome aboard the Monday Morning Monorail Podcast. This is Justin Monorail, and this is episode number 198 of the Monday Morning Monorail Podcast. Today is April the 22nd, 2024, and I am here to bring you a little bit of Disney news, maybe some Universal news, and I'll probably even mention SeaWorld. Why? Because, of course, we're the official podcast of SeaWorld, and we are contractually obligated to do so. But before we get into all that, just a couple quick reminders. We have a little contest going on for a chance to win a $50 Disney gift card, and you can get in on that. This is going throughout all of the Epcot Flower and Garden Festival, and all you really have to do is take a picture of an Epcot Flower and Garden food booth food item that you have tried or you are trying, give us a little review, and then tag at Morning Monorail on either Instagram or Twitter and use the hashtag Monorail Menu. If you do those things, then you will be entered to win. You will get a chance to win a $50 Disney gift card. We're going to wrap up that contest after Flower and Garden has wrapped up itself. And I will officially do the drawing as part of next month's Passholder Lounge live show. And that will be on May the 21st of 2024, Tuesday, 8 p.m. on the Passholder Lounge. We'll do the drawing there. And right now, I mean, we've got some entries. We've got a handful of entries. But if you want to get in on this, there's still a good opportunity for you to win. Just make sure you're following at Morning Monorail on Instagram and Twitter. And then when you post your picture, tag at Morning Monorail in the picture and use the hashtag Monorail Menu. And don't forget, give us a little review of the food item you're trying, and this will get you the chance to win that $50 gift card. So, to the disappointment of everyone today, the show is going to be just me, Justin Monorail, all by myself again, but I had a little tech issue this morning. We were in the middle of watching a new episode. Well, not a new one. We were in the middle of watching an episode of Fallout on Amazon Prime, and the internet just went kaput. Called our internet service provider and they said, well, you've got no signal. And that's the problem. But there's not an outage. It was an outage, but the extent of the outage was just this house. And so we had to have a technician come out. And because of that, I'm having to record a lot later than I originally planned. And so Steffers and Landon were not available this evening. So you've just got me. We're going to get in. We're going to get out. We're going to have some fun. And unfortunately, this does mean that we're pushing M3-4D back one more week, but it's worth the wait. I almost feel like maybe we should wait for episode 200 to bring it back, because that would just be fitting, right? It's an anniversary episode. It's a milestone episode. It's milestone more than it is anniversary, but it is pretty close, because let's see, episode 199 is going to be on Monday, the 29th of April, and then, well, yeah, May the 6th. Will be episode 200. And we started this show, if I remember right, our first episode was right around May the 4th in 2018. So we are coming up on 6 years, 200 episodes. Woo! What a ride, what a journey it's been. We have come so far, and we've still got a long ways to go. We can get better, and we can continue to grow this show and this community, and that's exactly what we intend to do. But anyway, I got myself sidetracked there. I know everybody's definitely anticipating the return of M3-4D. I don't want to keep you waiting, so we'll maybe do it next week, but we'll see. We'll have to see what Steffers and Landon think about that. I do think it would be a good idea to do one on episode 200, even if we do M3-4D next week. We might have to just do it back-to-back week, so we'll see. Before we get into the news today, I do want to say a special congratulations to the runners out there in the monorail family. I know that a lot of you came down this weekend for the Run Disney Springtime Surprise weekend, and you embraced the adventure. You may have run the Neverland 5K. You may have run the Adventurers Out There 10K. You may have run the Hakuna Matata 10-miler. And if you did all that, you completed Stitch's Ohana Challenge. But whether or not you did one or all the races or a couple, congratulations to all of those out there that did that. I know our friend Nate, he's a running machine. He's been doing like marathons and stuff lately. So he was here this weekend and he went out and ran and completed all the races. So congratulations to him and all of you. I know that we've got a lot of runners in this community. And don't forget, I am very much not a person who wants to run, but I have committed that if we can get the Monday Morning Monorail podcast channel up over 1,000 subscriptions, then I will do a Run Disney race. I'm not committing to a specific one or a specific distance on purpose, but I will do one next year. And that goal must be reached a year from now, like April 1st, 2025. We've got to get to 1,000 subscriptions. So if you want to see me run, I also have committed, probably ill-advised committed here, but I have committed to wearing a costume for that race that will be picked by the monorail family members as well. So it has to be appropriate, has to be Disney appropriate, and it needs to be functional. So please don't like send me out in a cardboard box or something. I chafe bad enough as it is, people. Don't put me through that. So anyway, if you want to see Justin Monorail actually do a Run Disney race, which I've always said I will never do, in this case, I'll do it, and it's for a good cause. So if you don't know what this is all about, just a reminder, Landon is doing a fundraiser that's going to culminate on April 1st of next year, 2025, because that's his 40th birthday, and he's calling it Living with the Landon. And this fundraiser is for Second Harvest Food Bank of East Tennessee, and essentially, it's just going to be a sponsorship opportunity where you can sponsor Landon, say, $1 per ride, or maybe $5 per ride, or $100 per ride, or whatever you want to commit. And then he's going to ride Living with the Land all day next April 1st. And then every single circuit that he makes will count as a lap, basically. So, and you will pay whatever you committed per lap. So if you did $1 per ride, $1 per lap, and Landon rides Living with the Land 10 times, then that's $10, and that's what you donate. So that'll happen next year. Stay tuned. We're going to keep talking about that. But the reason I want to get to 1,000 subscriptions on the YouTube, I'd love to be able to go live from the park. And, you know, I'm not going to just go live and be obnoxious all day long, but I would like to bring you all into it. For those of you who can't be there on the day of the fundraising event, I'd definitely like to take some time throughout the day and maybe even do a ride or two with Landon live on YouTube. And I can't do that unless we get to 1,000. YouTube won't let me go live remotely unless we get to 1,000. So that's the goal. It's for a good cause. And I'm going to run if we can get there. We'll see. But that's up to you all, the monorail family members. All right. All that's taken care of. I say it's time. Let's jump into the news. That's right, dreamers. I have scoured the internet and grabbed all of the Disney, Universal, SeaWorld headlines from the blogs and vlogs and all the news outlets so you don't have to do the legwork yourself. I've done it for you. You may have done all the legwork this weekend running Disney events. Your legs are tired. Let me take care of that for you. We're going to start with a little bit of food-related news because you all know I'm a foodie. I love tasty treats. And this was surprising to me because I could have, you know, if you had told me that this place already had a Michelin star, I would have believed it. But according to blogmickey.com, Walt Disney World earns first ever Michelin star for Victoria and Albert's. Yes, it's true. Walt Disney World can finally lay claim to a Michelin star. Victoria and Albert's, if you are unaware, is a very, very fancy restaurant located in the Grand Floridian Resort. Now, this restaurant had been closed for quite a while. It closed down during COVID, and it was one that it didn't come back with everything else. Like, it had been closed and stayed closed until very recently. But it's opened back up now, and as part of that opening, they officially earned a Disney star. So, in this article, they say, of course, Victoria and Albert's isn't the first restaurant on Disney property to earn a star, with the third party, Kappa, earning a Michelin star previously and keeping it in 2024. But it's still a pretty big milestone, and here is the announcement from Disney. For over 20 years, Victoria and Albert's has been dazzling guests with a multi-course experience filled with extraordinary flavors and the highest quality of ingredients from across the world. Beyond the culinary creations in the kitchen, the team has curated a world-class wine collection featuring more than 500 different selections. Sommeliers are there to guide you through this precisely selected collection or recommend options from a zero-proof beverage menu to create your perfect pairing. The culinary team upholding this long-beloved and revered legacy is led by Chef de Cuisine Matthew Sowers, with nearly 20 years spent at Victoria and Albert's and experience assisting in the creation of acclaimed menus for Remy on the Disney Dream and Disney Fantasy. Alongside him handling the sweeter side of the kitchen is pastry chef Allie Rogers, who leads the entire pastries team for the resort. It's an incredible honor to be recognized by Michelin for the innovative dining experience our team brings to life here at Victoria and Albert's, said Chef Matthew. Everybody on our team earned this star, from our stewards to our culinarians to our pastry chefs, and we hope to inspire future generations of culinary professionals to follow their dreams. So that's very exciting. It's very cool. And like I said, it's a surprise to me that Victoria and Albert's didn't already have a star, and it was kind of a surprise that Kappa was the only other location on Disney property that had one. But now there's two stars within the Walt Disney World Resort confines. So congratulations, Victoria and Albert's, and keep on doing your thing. And if you want to invite the monorail crew out for a firsthand sampling to, you know, get some experience and understand how you earned that star, we'd absolutely be willing to do it. Well, I'll be waiting patiently by my email box for that note to come in. All right, moving inside the parks over to Magic Kingdom. This comes from allears.net. Disney announces opening timeline for Magic Kingdom's most confusing new attraction. So, have you ever been over to the Storybook Circus in Fantasyland? And you know that's where Dumbo, the flying elephant, the two spinners are. And you know that's where Pete's Silly Sideshow is. There's also a train station over there. Well, we're getting a brand new experience sponsored by Cincy, and it is called the Smell-Elephants on Parade. So basically, you're going to get a collection of smell-elephant statues, and they will put out scents from those statues that are themed to the elephant. So for example, we've got a picture here in the article showing a popcorn-scented elephant, and it's an elephant that looks like he's wearing kind of red and white striped, like a popcorn box pants, and then his entire elephant body has popcorn designs all over it. And I guess as you get near that, then you're going to start smelling popcorn. Disney says, when entering Storybook Circus, guests will stumble upon a casting call posted by Timothy Q. Mouse seeking out a whiff assistant to join Dumbo's newest act. You'll be able to pick up a map of the statues at the ticket booth in front of Big Top Souvenirs. There will be 8 Smell-Elephant statues in total, and your map will come with a corresponding sticker to use as you find them. The first statue to arrive themed is the popcorn statue, as we mentioned, but subsequent pachyderms will also feature different snacks and scents. Specifically, Disney mentioned churro and cotton candy, but there will be others. So they're starting to take shape. We're starting to see those elephants installed, but it doesn't necessarily say when they will all be good to go and performing their smelly circus over in the Storybook Circus area. But you're going to start seeing them now. I just don't know if already they're going to be putting their scents out. Probably not. Not until they're officially launched anyway. But that is definitely something to keep a nose out for, I guess. I don't know if I should say it, but I'm going to say it. Keep your nose out for the Smell-O-Fence on parade. Well, I mentioned earlier, we're coming up on May. May is upon us. It'll be here in a couple of weeks. May the 4th is coming up 2 weeks from, well, it's not this Saturday. It's next Saturday. I don't want to do that kind of math, so you do it yourself. But Disney has released a little foodie guide for some special Star Wars-themed treats that they will debut in Disney's Hollywood Studios at the ABC Commissary, Backlot Express, Pizza Rizzo, and Rosie's All-American Cafe. So these will be available May 4th through the 31st, through the end of the month. And a lot of these look like they're available to mobile order, so it's not just walk-up. You can get a mobile order as well. So this is available, it looks to me like, at all of those locations. You can get Jettison Juice, which is Minute Maid lemonade and watermelon served with a glow cube. That's non-alcoholic. Over at Docking Bay 7, Food and Cargo, also from May the 4th through the 31st, you can get a Mossberry Biscuit. It's a biscuit topped with ube and matcha icing, ube micro sponge cake, sprinkles, and dehydrated blueberries. At Dockside Diner, already available and all the way through the end of May, you can get the Princess of Alderaan Shake. It's a salted caramel shake topped with whipped cream and edible glitter and mini cinnamon rolls on the side that look just like a particular princess's hairstyle that you may recognize. At the Milk Stand in Galaxy's Edge from the 4th through the 31st, you can order polystarch puff bread. These are croissants topped with, or I should say croissant, topped with blue and green milk cracklin', served with yuzu passion fruit coconut dipping sauce. And then at Rosie's All-American Cafe, you can get Mustafarian Puff, red cream puff with cookies and cream custard filling, topped with chocolate cream cookie crumbs. And head on over to these locations, Oasis Canteen, the Sunshine Day Bar, Tune In Lounge, and the Hollywood Brown Derby. They will be offering a Cosmic Rum Punch, which will be Parrot Bay Coconut Rum, Bacardi Superior Rum, Pineapple Juice, Minute Maid Lemonade, Grenadine, and a Glow Cube with a lightsaber. And a Glow Cube with a lightsaber churro? No, that's a separate thing. I think this was just a little issue with the way they had it listed here. You will be able to get a lightsaber churro, but those are over at Anaheim Produce, Grand Avenue Market, and Churro Cart. Lightsaber churros. There's a red one and a blue one. And they come with in a little, basically a cardboard handle on the end. It'll look like the hilt of, it looks like Darth Vader's hilt, actually, to be quite honest with you. Over in Disney Springs, you can also get some May the 4th treats. At the Amorette's Patisserie, you can get a Stormtrooper Petite Cake, which is layers of chocolate chiffon, vanilla bean mousse, and dark chocolate ganache and cherries. And then the Ganacherie, from the 1st through the 31st, we'll have Death Star Ganache Squares and Rebellion Ganache Squares. And then this one, this is really interesting to me. Coming soon, I don't have a date for this yet, but coming soon to the Walt Disney World Resort, a salvaged Stormtrooper helmet popcorn bucket. Limit 2 per person, per transaction, no discounts apply. Essentially, this looks like a roughed up, destroyed Stormtrooper helmet, and you get to eat your popcorn out of it. A little dark, if you ask me, Disney. I mean, I think that the implication here is this was once worn by a Stormtrooper, and he did not fare well in battle. I mean, do we think this was a decapitated Stormtrooper, or maybe is this maybe it's a discarded helmet? I think at best, maybe we should just say, let's just make the assumption this was a Stormtrooper who deserted. He threw off his helmet, kind of like Finn. Maybe it was Finn's helmet. He tossed it aside, and now it's just been beaten up on the deserts of Jakku. I don't know, but that it just seems, especially if you're watching shows like The Mandalorian and you see the Stormtrooper helmets on sticks, and you know Ewoks, they like to eat Stormtroopers. This is dark. There's some darkness with this particular popcorn bucket. I gotta tell you though, it looks really cool, and I would kind of like to have one myself. So, anyways, I love treats. I love foodie guides. This episode has been perfect for me so far. Very food and treat heavy. I want to head over to Animal Kingdom for just a moment. So this is another article from blogmickey.com. Rare characters return to Animal Kingdom for Earth Week, starting with Nick and Judy from Zootopia. So Animal Kingdom Earth Week festivities have officially kicked off. And as part of the celebration, rare characters have returned to meet with guests near the Tree of Life. Today, which this was posted on Sunday, yesterday, Nick Wilde and Judy Hopps were meeting with guests in the Tree of Life garden across from Creature Comforts. The characters typically change daily and will continue through April 28th. So it's really just this week. If you happen to be in Animal Kingdom, you will have an opportunity to meet some rare characters that you don't typically see out and about. And in the past, it looks like Flick has been out meeting with people. So, yeah, keep your eye out for that. We always love to see those rare characters in the parks. So that's it for Disney news. I'm going to do my best impression of Steffers as we go across the Universal and check in on a little bit of Universal news. This was really good news, especially if you are a Florida resident. So this was on the Fox35Orlando.com website. Universal Orlando offers free admission to Florida residents with a new deal. Florida residents can visit Universal Orlando for free with the theme park's newly announced deal. I mean, that's a stretch. It's not really for free, because wait till you hear the deal. The ticket offer calls for two free two-park, two-day tickets when you buy two. So Universal announced Thursday the deal gives Florida residents 4 days of access to Universal Studios and Islands of Adventure starting this Thursday through December 18th, when the ticket will expire in full. Blockout dates are from November 25th through the 30th. The first use of the ticket must be on or before December 15th to ensure the ticket can be fully used and no days forfeited. So the idea is you buy two park-to-park tickets and you get 2 days free. There are other tickets available for Florida residents. You can get a 3-park, 4-day ticket, and you can buy a 3-park, 2-day park-to-park ticket and get 2 days free as well. Ticket prices vary by day, according to this article. So that's interesting to me, because it sounds like maybe Universal's anticipating some lower crowds than they would like to have through the end of the year. And so they're trying to find ways maybe to get locals in there and get the numbers up. So take a look. That may be something that works for you if you are a local listening to the show, or you happen to have a Florida access to someone who can help you get those tickets. I don't know. I'm not saying game the system. I'm just saying you do you, and I'm not going to judge one way or the other. Okay, finally, we've got some SeaWorld news. Let's head over to SeaWorld. SeaWorld, are you listening? Are your ears burning? This isn't great news, so maybe you, SeaWorld, you don't want to listen. Just, if you're SeaWorld, go ahead and turn this off. According to what I hear through the grapevine, Jason Derulo was supposed to perform at the Seven Seas Food Festival this past weekend. In fact, I'm pretty sure it was Sunday the 21st that he was supposed to perform. He ended up canceling his performance. And as a result of that, PETA is thanking Jason Derulo by sending him dolphin-themed gifts. So it says in this note that I'm reading, Derulo's cancellation comes after he heard about SeaWorld's unsavory practices from PETA, according to the animal rights organization. And now, instead, they replaced the performance with Chris Young, a country musician who performed on Sunday. So PETA explained they informed Derulo of SeaWorld's practice of forcibly impregnating dolphins and whales, as well as their history of having over 500 dolphins and whales die in captivity. Though it's unclear if Derulo canceled solely because of PETA's intervention, the organization is thanking him with these dolphin-themed gifts. So, we've talked about this a few times. You know, SeaWorld, I think they're still fighting really hard to escape some of their past, when maybe their practices weren't as conservation and animal front focused. I think they've always had some of that in there, but I don't think that everyone was always fully aware of, you know, the impacts to the animals that they were having by doing the things that they do. So I think that they have moved forward in a good way. I think they're trying to distance themselves from their past, and they're trying to get better. And, you know, clearly SeaWorld has pivoted to being more of like a coaster park, and you can't even find any merchandise that says Shamu or anything like that around the park anymore. But they still do have some killer whales. And I think that's probably mostly because the animals they have, they can't release these animals. They would not be able to live in the wild, most likely. But I don't think that their past is great, but I do think that they're working on a better future, and I give SeaWorld credit for that. But anyway, it's just interesting to see that this stuff could still happen. So Jason Derulo pulled out, did not perform. I'm sure people are disappointed about that. I've never heard of Chris Young, but I'm sure he put on a good show himself. All right, so that's the news. I want to mention one thing real quick before we wrap up. So on Thursday, I was able to head over to Hollywood Studios and meet up with our friend Nate. He was preparing for his big Run Disney springtime surprise weekend, but we had sort of an opportunity to do an early dinner and hang out for a little while and just chat. And we ended up sitting at the Hollywood Brown Derby Lounge. So if this is new to you, or you're unaware that this is a thing that you can do, if you're interested in trying food or drinks from the Hollywood Brown Derby and you can't get a reservation inside, you can always do a walk-up. You can enter like the walk-up queue for the Brown Derby Lounge, which is outside. They've got patio tables. There's some high tops. And a lot of the tables are like tables for two, but I think they might have some bigger tables if you have bigger parties. But it is sort of first come, first serve seating there. You just got to put your name in. So you might have to wait a little bit. But you do have access to the full Hollywood Brown Derby menu, cocktails and food. So I decided to try the famous Cobb salad. I've been to Hollywood Brown Derby. I've gone to the lounge before, but I've never tried the Cobb salad. So I got that this time. I also got this soup that I personally had not seen it on the menu before, but maybe I've just overlooked it. It was a oyster and brie soup, and I had that as the starter. Well, first of all, I just want to say the drinks are always top-notch at the Hollywood Brown Derby, whether you sit inside or go to the lounge on the outside. They also have a walk-up bar if you just want to get like a grab-and-go, but you can't. I think you have to wait to be sort of waved over to the bar. They're sort of controlling access in that whole area now. I think it used to be more open, but it's a little more controlled now. But yeah, the food, the drinks are always great, and the food that I've had there has been really good too. Let me tell you about this oyster and brie soup. It was so delicious. I mean, it was like creamy and the oyster wasn't totally overwhelming. Although I was surprised, it was kind of like a big fried oyster that they put right in the middle of it. And so I had to kind of chop that up and eat it. It was salty. It was a salty soup, but it was almost like eating like a real smooth, creamy clam chowder is essentially kind of what it reminded me of. It was very good. The brie was really good. I highly recommend that if that's something you're interested in. Give that a try. It was really tasty. And I will say that Cobb salad lived up to the hype as well. I mean, I've heard lots of people talk about going to the Hollywood Brown Derby specifically to get that famous Cobb salad. And man, I get it. And you have the option to add. You can add protein to it. Like you can get chicken, grilled chicken added to it. I didn't do that. I just went straight with the Cobb salad. And it was plenty of food. It filled me up between that and the soup that I got, the oyster brie soup. Plenty of food. I'm looking forward to going back because there's still a lot of things that I haven't had a chance to try yet at the Hollywood Brown Derby. And so I've got to get back there. And like, I'd love to try, man, they have free range chicken and dumplings. It sounds so good. I'd like to try their shepherd's pie sometime. They've got a lamb shake. I can't even remember what I had the very first time that I went and sat inside, but I feel like I don't even see it on the menu. Maybe the menu's changed, but yeah, lots of good stuff. So anyway, if you're interested, the oyster brie soup, fried oyster and champagne foam, $18. That's on the appetizer menu. And then the famous Cobb salad entree. It's on the entree menu. Spitfire roasted turkey, bacon, egg, tomatoes, blue cheese, avocado, classic dressing, and then you can add chicken or shrimp, and that's $25. So really reasonably priced for, I mean, it's the lowest entree that you can get price wise, but it's huge, lots of food, and really, really, really good. So highly recommend it. I also will recommend, I didn't get it this time, but I've had it before. You can get grapefruit cake on the dessert menu, $14. It says it's a Brown Derby original vanilla sponge cake, grapefruit syrup, and cream cheese icing. And it is so, so, so good. Highly recommend. If you've not made it over to the Hollywood Brown Derby, definitely do it. I think, you know, part of my reason for enjoying this trip so much was definitely the company. It's always good to hang out with Nate, but I will, you know, I'll always recommend if you can get over there, give it a try. All right. So this was a short one, but I think that's going to do it for today. I appreciate you all checking in, listening. Sorry about the technical issues. I had nothing to do with the fact that the internet was down, even though I feel like the technician accused me of such when he arrived. I had nothing to do with it. I did not mow the grass and cut the line. I did it. It wasn't me. Somebody did something, but it wasn't me today. But anyway, I know you all miss Steffers and Landon. I miss them too. Make sure to let them know that this episode wasn't nearly as good as it could have been because they weren't here. But you can follow Landon on Twitter at LANDOZ. He's also Daz Does Disney on Instagram. Steffers is Adventures with Steffers on Instagram. And she's got a new podcast, Sippin' and Bitchin', that you can check out. She does that podcast with her best friend. They do some book reviews and they just chat and they have a good old time. And also, I want to let you know that you have got to subscribe to the Monday Morning Monorail YouTube channel. You've got to do it. Please do it. I am going to start posting more park videos. I haven't done it in quite a while, but I dug out the old GoPro. I've charged up the batteries. I'm ready to get out there, get some park videos, post some reviews. You know, I think it's fun just taking in the park atmosphere. So, you know, I might post videos where I have like a specific thing I want to do or try and I'll show that. Or it may just be kind of taking in a day at Animal Kingdom and just, you know, enjoying the beauty of Disney's most beautiful park and most relaxing and most fun. I always love stirring that pot just a little bit because I have to. I am a Disney AK lover and I will always bang the drum for the Animal Kingdom. But yeah, I'm going to start doing a lot more of that stuff on the YouTube. So go check it out, please. Make sure you're subscribed. And I really appreciate you just listening in general. I appreciate you being here. I appreciate you being part of the Monday Morning Monorail family. It means so much to me that you're here. If you want to interact with us more during the week, you can do that. We have a Facebook group, Monday Morning Monorail Family on Facebook. It may just be fam because I like to say that because, you know, that was a fun thing to say like 20 years ago, fam, and I just hung on to it. It is officially the Monday Morning Monorail fam. It's true. On Facebook. You can join that group, hang out with us all week long. You can also follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Morning Monorail. Don't forget about the Monorail Menu Challenge going on now through the end of Flower and Garden. You can enter to win a $50 Disney gift card. And we have a Discord that you can join if you want to chat with us kind of throughout the week about this, that, and the other thing. So thank you so much. I appreciate all of you. I love you. You're the best fans in the podcast business. And until next week, be excellent to each other and party on, dudes. We'll see you next time. Bye-bye.